Hey guys, in my update video today, I'm going to share something about what I call the big lie. But back to that in a moment. I'm just having a great day. Today is Friday and I thought I would do an update video. Here doing some videos in my home, so trust you are well. What's happening here? I'm working from home today. Got a super busy day tomorrow. I have meetings from 7 a.m. till about 2 p.m. And Sunday, I'm going to be speaking in Surbridge Worship Center Sunday and doing an outreach in New England Fellowship on Norwalk Common at 4 p.m. So Mass and Connecticut. Next weekend, I'm going to be in France again. So busy month, lots of travel, and God is good. Good. Hey, let me share something with you here. I was reading today one of my favorite chapters, really weird chapter in a way. It's not weird, but it's pithy. Oh, Jesus is just real. We're in Matthew 18, he talks so much about relationships. And I was just thinking about this. You know, the kingdom of God is a relational kingdom. And everything in the kingdom of God functions relationally and breaks down when it's no longer about relationships. And again, in a second, I just want to share one of the greatest keys to doing kingdom relationships well. But let me back out of this as well. I think relationships come under attack more than anything else. Mm-hmm. In one sense, I know what this is like, and you probably do too. It's quite easy to love God at home alone and hallelujah. And, you know, you kind of float around the floor like Benny Hinn, worshiping, singing in tongues, singing hallelujah. And then you get around people. You know, it's amazing how many people I've seen leave church. And leave any church. And, you know, my experience, people don't leave church because they didn't like the music or the decor or even the doctrine or whatever. It's nearly always about relational offense. Learning to do relationships well is one of the greatest skills that we can ever develop in the kingdom of God. And I think God wants us to put high merit, high value, high currency on relationships. In one sense, relationships are the only things we'll get to carry out of this world. Relationships, you won't carry one thing out of this world, one physical thing, one piece of clothing, one Bitcoin. They don't exist. One guitar, one expensive car, $1 bill, nothing. But you carry the relationship with God and the relationship you have with other people. You can carry into eternity. And I think God wants the body of Christ to do relationships well. And, just in this context, let me share as a pastor what is actually one of the most frustrating things and yet one of the most glorious things when people learn this lesson. If there's one line I would draw, relationally anyway, between immaturity and maturity, it really comes down to this one principle, and Jesus lays it out in Matthew 18. Let me say this. Nearly every week, I will hear somebody in some context tell a story, and it usually goes something like this. Somebody really hurt me and offended me. I was really hurt, disappointed. I'm not mocking. That's often true. And they'll often tell me something like, but I didn't go on social media and post some passive-aggressive little ding-dong. I went into my room and forgave them. And I got alone with God and forgave them. And they'll often say that in a way, like in a really proud way, like, you know, awesome, didn't I do well? And I go, oh, terrible, terrible. I actually call this the big lie. And here's what I'm saying. One of the greatest lies I think Satan ever spun and sold to the church that keeps people in bondage is this idea that when there's a relational breakdown, what you need to do is get alone with God and forgive them. And Jesus says the exact opposite. Matthew 18, Jesus says, verse 15, when your brother sins against you, he doesn't say go to the Lord. He says go to your brother. And again, let me challenge you if you're triggered by this. It is 10,000 times easier, let's say if I offend you, to go to the Lord, and try to forgive somebody than it is to actually go and talk to the person face to face. Jesus says you go to your brother and you deal with the matter with him. If it's resolved, it's resolved. He says if not, take two or three. He doesn't say if it's not, then go to your prayer closet and pray and forgive them. He says, if it isn't, bring two or three people with you. Yeah. And then he says, if that doesn't resolve it, he doesn't say, go into your prayer closet and forgive them. He says, literally, announce it before the church. Let it be a public matter in church. Now, again, the challenge here is we always, our flesh always wants to take the easy way out. And I really want you to see that today. It is a flesh-filled thing, an easy-peasy, cotton-candy, cheesy answer to say, well, I just got alone with God and forgave them. You know, it's quite interesting, but quite often, there's a lot of quite so. Often we forgive people for things they've never done. Yeah? I'm amazed how many times, and I've been both the giver and the receiver of this one, so, but that I have, you know, I've been offended at somebody, look what they do, you know, and you've never done this right, but, you know, and I've done that, sat in it for days, weeks, months, maybe years, who knows. And when I actually go and talk to them, I find out, oh, I didn't even know the whole story. I haven't even grasped what was really going on. One of the most foolish things we can ever do is judge somebody else without knowing all of the facts. It's what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs says it's a fool who makes a judgment about something without knowing all the details. And quite often what we're doing when we're forgiving somebody is we actually haven't uncovered all the facts. I've had people forgive me for things I've never done, and they'll come and, Graham, I forgive you. And I'm like, I wasn't there. I never did it. Graham, I forgive you for killing my cat and dog. I'm kidding. You know, I'm like, I've never touched them. So we should take the courage in our two hands. We should learn the lessons of maturity. And I say that for teachers and preachers and pastors and leaders. You know, one thing I learned really easily in my life is to run towards confrontation, not run from it. And frankly, nobody likes confrontation, maybe except some sort of psychopath. Nobody's like, yeah, it's Monday. What should I do? Let me deal with some confrontation. But I've learned any time any situation needs dealing with, yeah, I will not let the sun go down before I reach out to that person. And again, here's a really great little clue. Never, capital N, never try to deal with anything by a text message, by an email, through a letter. You know, frankly, if you can, don't call them on the phone, don't FaceTime them, Zoom them, or whatever one does these days. Get with them in the room, talk to them, let them see what's going on in your heart, and then shut up and let them respond and actually catch what's really going on there. And Jesus says, if you do this, it's interesting, he doesn't say you'll win the argument. He says you'll win your brother. And what happens when we forgive somebody, we go along, we indulge in the big lies, as I call it, is we think we win the argument. We think, you know, our pride kicks in and tell us, hey, you're doing really well, you've forgiven them. And, you know, that's one of the reasons people drag around baggage, spiritual baggage in their soul for years. And if you go to them, they'll say, I've forgiven them. And their eyes spin and they, you know, things come out. And they haven't actually forgiven because they haven't resolved. Lay the axe to the root of the tree. And I think God wants us to fight, not fight relationally, not fight in relationship, but fight for relationship. You know, it's really interesting. This is the passage where Jesus talks about the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd will leave the 99 and go after the one. I tell you, any good shepherd, it's interesting. I had somebody try to judge me last week without any sense of what's actually gone on in the context. Any good shepherd will pursue a lost sheep again and again and again and again, relentlessly. Do you know, Jesus will never give up on us. He'll never run. He'll never ride us off. He'll never say, well, that's it. You just gone too far, over and out. We can do that, but he'll never do that. And I think God wants us to have, frankly, we should all be our brother's keeper. We should all be a pastor of the friendships, of the relationships that God has entrusted to us, and have that thing that says, I love you too much. Catch me, guys. What we're actually saying, you know, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him in all things to the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ, Ephesians 4, 12, 13, 14. And we're called to speak the truth in love. Some people just love to speak the truth. There is a difference. But what we do when we go to our brother and we have a difficult conversation is we speak the truth in love. What we really do when we go and hide in our prayer closet and forgive, so to speak, is we're really just loving ourselves. We're loving our own soul. We're nurturing ourselves and not the other person. Because if the other person actually needs to hear a rebuke that we've got, well, we're actually loving them when we go to... The Bible says the faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yeah, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So my encouragement to you today is let's be those kingdom people. Let's fight for a relationship. I mean, let's fight for it. We're not fighting the person. We're fighting the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the one who will get in the middle between relationships. And what we should do is actually get in the gap between person A. We should stand in the gap and bring that ministry of reconciliation to bear. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with somebody, if you're struggling with me, if you're struggling with anybody, like go and talk to them. Yeah. Reach out, talk to them, find a context where you can talk, you know, and have an hour or two if you need be, and just pull at it and go at it. And, you know, in one sense, have an argument, but have an argument where you listen as well as express yourself and actually get to the root. Don't try and put a bandage over some wound that is infected. And lastly, do not fall into the big lie of thinking you can resolve a relational thing, just you and Jesus alone. No, go and speak to that person and try and win it. Boom. I hope that's a help. Hey, as always, check out the links below, my website, gjm.org, ministry school. We're doing a bit of work on the tech side of that. Should be back up in a week or so. And sign up for our email newsletter. Boom. Hey, hope to see you soon in the plan of God. Thanks for watching and bye for now.